Today's second lesson is long, and I therefore invite you to turn in your personal Bible or the Pew Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 25, reading verses 2 through 35. You will find that on page 235 of the Pew Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. There was a man in Maon whose property was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was clever and beautiful, but the man was surly and mean. He was a Calebite. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Thus you shall salute him, peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm. And they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your sight, for we have come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David." When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and the meat that I have butchered for my shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know where?" So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." And every one of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword, and about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he shouted insults at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we never missed anything when we were in the fields, as long as we were with them. They were a wall to us by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know this and consider what you should do, for evil has been decided against our master and against all his house. He is so ill-natured that no one can speak to him." Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched grain, 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs. She loaded them on donkeys and said to her young men, "Go on ahead of me, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she rode on the donkey and came down under cover of the mountain, David and his men were coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely it was in vain that I protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, but he has returned me evil for good. God do so to David and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she hurried and alighted from the donkey, fell before David on her face, bowing to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Upon me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please, let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. My Lord, do not take seriously this ill-natured fellow Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, since the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from taking vengeance with your own hand, now let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be like Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord. And evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If anyone should rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living under the care of the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. When the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause or for having saved himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant. David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you to meet me today. Blessed be your good sense, and blessed be you who have kept me today from blood guilt and from avenging myself by my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, truly by morning there would not have been left a Nabal so much as one male." Then David received from her hand what she had brought him. He said to her, "Go up to your house in peace. See, I have heeded your voice, and I have granted your petition." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are three main characters in this story, and two of them are fools. The most obvious fool, of course, is Nabal. Nabal vehemently refuses to share his wealth with anyone, least of all with David, even though David's army has been protecting Nabal's flocks from thieves and predators. Nabal slanders David, refuses his request for food, and stomps off to a party where he becomes hopelessly drunk. In the Hebrew language, Nabal, his name, literally means fool. And a fool he is. The second fool in this story is David. Yes, God has chosen David to be the future king of Israel, but as this city well knows, election to public office is no guarantee against unimpeachable conduct. And so when David hears of Nabal's insult, he flies into a foolish rage. David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword," and every one of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword, and about 400 men went up after David. He is bent on revenge, pure and simple. So, Nabal wants to know, who is David? I'll show him who David is. By the time I get through with him, he will wish he had shown a little more respect for the son of Jesse. I confess to you this morning that the same vengeful beast lurks just below my surface, ready to spring out at the least provocation. When another driver cuts me off at Ward Circle, I automatically want to retaliate. When my bank credits my $1,000 deposit to someone else on June 30th and then takes 2 months to admit they made a mistake, I'm prepared to sue. And when my electricity hasn't been restored for over 2 days, I am ready to picket Pepco. How about you? Ah, but then Carol called me in my study this morning at 7:30 and said, the power is back on. And I began to repent. I began to remember that crews have been out around the clock, cutting down trees and preparing lines. I began to remember that there are mothers with ill children in this community who needed the power far greater than I did. I remember that I have friends in this congregation in their 80s and their 90s and throughout this community who cannot very easily get out of their apartments and their homes and go looking for a grocery store that is open or a restaurant that is open. And I realized that I needed to repent of my retaliation. I confess to you that I am just as prone to knee-jerk reactions as David was. And I often live to regret it. Abigail is the only one in this story who shows good sense. To begin with, Abigail intervened between these two foolish men. She stepped between them to stop David from killing Nabal. She was even willing to take upon herself the penalty for her husband's foolishness. Upon me alone, my Lord, be the guilt, she said. And when the text tells us that she fell before David on her face, bowing to the ground, we are meant to understand that she was exposing her neck to his sword. She was offering her innocent life for her guilty husband. I see Jesus in Abigail. Jesus intervened to reconcile us to God and to one another. Paul said it best in 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And Peter wrote, Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. So when we watch Abigail intervene between these two enemies, we get a little preview of Christ's reconciling death on the cross for us. Second, Abigail insisted that David stop and count to 10. When she first meets him on the road, David is in a towering rage. Everything he says is skewed and hateful. It is totally out of touch with reality. And Abigail insists that he stop and count to 10 so he can take an objective look at what is going on. And when he does so, two things become instantly clear. First, Nabal is a fool, but he doesn't deserve to die. And second, David will be an even greater fool if he lets his anger get the best of him. If he kills Nabal, he will bring blood guilt upon himself, the guilt of taking another man's life for what really is little more than a petty insult. I try to count to 10 when someone responds rudely on the telephone or overcharges me at the checkout counter. I ask myself, will I remember this 5 years from now? The answer invariably is no. I won't remember this 5 days, let alone 5 years from now. Well, then, why say or do something that I will remember 5 years from now and remember with shame? Let us emulate Abigail's good sense. Let's take an objective look at the circumstances before we ride off like vigilantes on expeditions of reprisal. Finally, Abigail invokes David's better self. She said to him, "The Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord, David, is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live." In other words, the Lord has a magnificent future in store for you, David. Don't do something now that will stain your reputation and forfeit that future. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you to meet me today. Blessed be your good sense. And blessed be you who have kept me today from blood guilt and from avenging myself by my own hand." I want very much to invoke your best self today. God has a magnificent future for you. Don't spoil that future with petty resentments and trivial grudges and foolish vendettas. Take the high road. Take the Abigail road. Take the road of good sense. There is a contemporary Abigail whom I admire very much. His name is Nelson Mandela. If ever anyone had the right to nurse on the bitter milk of resentment, it was Nelson Mandela. Mandela was imprisoned for 29 years because of his militant opposition to apartheid in South Africa. When he was sentenced to life imprisonment, he said this, "I have fought against white domination and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die." Shortly after his release from prison in 1990, Nelson Mandela stood on the steps of the City Hall in Cape Town, addressing a crowd of several thousand people. There was not a hint of vengeance in his voice. Instead, he began with these words, "Friends, comrades, and fellow South Africans, I greet you in the name of peace, democracy, and freedom for all." And he ended his speech that day with the paragraph I quoted just a moment ago, the pledge he had made at his trial, the pledge to live together in harmony, the pledge for which he had been prepared to die. Thank God he lived to save his nation from a terrible bloodbath. Thank God for his good sense to begin a democratic and free society in South Africa. And where did his good sense come from? I would like to believe that it came, at least in part, from his childhood education at the Helltown Methodist boarding school. In Abigail's case, the Lord had everything to do with it. 6 times in her speech to David, she invokes the name of the Lord. And in the last of the 6, she speaks of the Lord who had dealt well with David. And because the Lord had dealt well with David, how could he do anything less than deal well with Nabal? You have only to look at the cross this morning to realize that the Lord has dealt well with us. Jesus did not retaliate for the offenses we had committed against God. Instead, He stood between us and the judgment we deserve. He took the penalty for our sins in His own body on the cross. How then can we do anything less than deal well with others? Have you had a kindness shown? Pass it on. 'Twas not given for thee alone. Pass it on. Let it travel down the years. Let it wipe another's tears, till in heaven the deed appears. Pass it on.